pick up now. It started about a week and a half ago, and I've seen several kings caught that look like really nice fish.
The 32nd annual King Salmon Derby in Haines should be harder on the fish, but easier on the fishermen. And why Skagway residents should get to know their hiking trails even better this summer.
12 awesome trails in Skagway, and I can claim that probably 50% of the population here doesn't even use those trails.
It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Last year's wildfire season was an especially active one for Alaska, and this year's has already started. A wildfire west of Tok continued to burn Thursday afternoon. The roadside flames had part of the Alcan Highway closed from Moon Lake at milepost 1331 to Tanacross Airport at 1321. Travelers are advised to take alternate routes while firefighters are working in the area. From the border, take the Tok cutoff to Glen Allen. From there, drivers can travel to Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Valdez. The closure is indefinite, but updates are available at 511.alaska.gov or call the Alaska Travel Information Hotline at 511. The first local wildland fire of the season broke out in Haines Thursday in Chilkat State Park. Emergency responders were on scene and unavailable for comment at the time of this report, but a burn ban on open flames is in effect in Haines. In Skagway, a modified burn ban allows fires only in fire department approved fire rings and within the hydrant district. All burns should be pre-approved and permitted by the fire departments. Fishing in this year's King Salmon Derby in Haines should be easier than ever, not only because of what's looking like a good fish run, but because organizers are making the validation process easier for fishermen.
The reason we did that is to allow more fish to be caught.
Josh Bentz is the chairman of the Derby, sponsored by the Haines Sportsmen's Association. This year's Derby starts at 8 a.m. Saturday, May 29th, and ends at 6 p.m. Monday, May 31st. In the past, fishermen, that means women too, had to validate their Derby tickets each and every morning of the event at 8 a.m.
So the way we have it set up now is you have to get validated on Saturday morning at 8 a.m., but after that, you can fish continuously until 6 p.m. Monday night.
The same goes for the second weekend of the Derby, June 5th and 6th. That means Derby participants need to show up ready to fish at the Letnikoff Harbor at 8 a.m. No fishing on Derby time is allowed before that for day ticket holders nor full Derby ticket holders.
How it works is you can buy a complete Derby ticket where you can fish every day of the Derby for $50, or you can buy a daily ticket for $15. And if you buy the full Derby ticket, you need to be validated at 8 a.m. each Saturday. But after that, you can fish continuously until the weekend's over.
So after the Derby begins, there's no cutoff time until Monday evening. That means you could pull fishing all-nighters if you wanted to.
I don't know how good the bite will be once it gets dark. I've never heard of anyone doing very good in the dark, but I have seen night bites go on in the evening hours, and I anticipate some hardcore fishermen will probably fish through the evening, but I anticipate everyone coming off the water as it gets dark, and then they can start whenever they want to the next morning.
This year's weigh-in station is Charlie DeWitt's Tiffany Lee, a green seiner in Letnikoff Harbor. That's also where interested volunteers, visitors, or refreshment donations can go to help the Derby crew. Catches before 8 a.m. on Sunday or Monday will have to be preserved until the weigh-in station opens. That goes for anything caught after the weigh-in station closes each evening, too.
Taking care of it, I mean keeping it on ice. Ice water is the best. That's actually the coldest. It's like a slush mixture. And no direct sunlight. Those are the best ways to take care of it. Cooler with slush ice mix is the best way.
Part-time Haines resident Shell Scarrett won last year's five-day event with a 33.9-pound Chinook landed in front of the old cannery in Letnikoff Cove. That was on the smaller side for a Derby win and for Scarrett, but this year's looking good so far, says Bentz.
I haven't caught one myself, unfortunately, but I've heard some pretty good reports from people. It's kind of like it always is. It's hit or miss. If the fish are there, then people are generally doing well. If they could go back to the same spot the next day and not catch a thing. The run is supposed to be slightly better than last year, and the fishing reports are pretty much on par, according to what the biologists have told me. It's starting to pick up now. It started about week and a half ago, and I've seen several kings caught that look like really nice fish.
The Derby falls on a later date this year, which should be good for anglers. Alaska Department of Fish and Game is also predicting healthy king runs in the area. Derby prizes go to the 15 biggest fish, with the top prize valued at around $2,200. There are also prizes for winners of some select categories, like senior citizens, Canadians, women, and kids, and some odd categories, too.
I guess I would call them random prizes. There's prizes for first female under 12 to turn in a fish, first male under 12 to turn in a fish. Each day there's prizes for first fish turned in, last fish turned in. There's just random numbers, like 22nd place, I believe, 46th place are big prizes, just random, just to get people to turn in their fish. And a bunch of kids' prizes. We really want the kids out there turning in fish. Just a full variety of prizes across the board to kind of keep everybody interested.
Derby participants must have a derby ticket, a valid fishing license, and a king salmon stamp. Kids under 13 are required by law to wear Coast Guard-approved life vests when they're on boats, and Coast Guard and Alaska Wildlife Troopers will be patrolling throughout the derby to ensure boating safety. Tickets and derby brochures are at Outfitter Sporting Goods and Alaska Sports Shop in Haines. The brochure includes prize and time information, rules, and a map of the fishing boundaries. Once again, there is no fishing on Derby time before 8 a.m. on Saturday, May 29th. This year's Great Alaska Craft Beer and Homebrew Festival in Haines is about to break some records.
We do have a massive amount of Alaska breweries showing up, more than normal.
Rachel Utzler is quality control at Alaskan Brewing Company in Juneau. She's also helping organize the festival, which is at Dalton City at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds this weekend. She works to set up homebrew entries for judges and commercial brew samples for the crowds at Saturday's public event.
I think we have about 14 Alaska breweries, and then we have one from Canada, and we have a couple from down south. Seattle, like Pike Brewing, and then we have Specialty and K&L distributors are making a very large showing.
The 18th Annual Festival is the culminating event on 2 weeks of designated beer weeks and celebrations around the country. American Craft Beer Week was last week, followed by the first ever Southeast Alaska Beer Week going on now. To showcase Southeast prize breweries, Rachel organized a tour of Haines and Skagway beer making facilities.
I decided that if it was going to be Southeast Beer Week, it had to start probably in Juneau for all those people that couldn't make it up here. And then I figured we might as well pull through Skagway, too, because the ferry schedule just kind of lined up that way.
She accompanied groups to Haines Brewing Company and Skagway Brewing Company on Thursday, while activities continued in Juneau.
I think just about the whole Southeast, just making it into a whole week instead of just doing the Haines thing. And include all the communities together. So far, it's been pretty good.
The Great Alaskan Craft Beer and Homebrew Festival begins on Friday, May 28th, with homebrew judging, then a sold-out banquet. Then Saturday's festival is $28 per person at the fairgrounds from 1 to 5 p.m. Live music, food, and a shuttle service are planned. Fairgoers must be 21 and able to prove it with a valid ID. Skagway is full of great trails, but the trails aren't always full of hikers. That's partly why the Skagway Recreation Center is introducing the First Trail Challenge.
It is the First Trail Challenge.
Tiffany Potter grew up in Haines and moved to Skagway when she was 14. She started working at the rec center last fall. She and Catherine Nelson are working together to challenge Skagwegians to hit the trails more this summer.
And she kind of just wanted to find a way to utilize the trails and get everybody involved in doing outdoor activities.
Three different levels, called adventure packs, are described in handouts at the rec center. Descriptions of the 12 trails are also included in those free packets. The trails on the list range from the easygoing Yakutania Point hike at 1.6 miles to the more strenuous 33-mile Chilkoot Trail.
I think this is a good program for people because there's 12 trails in Skagway, 12 awesome trails in Skagway, and I can claim that probably 50% of the population here doesn't even use those trails. And it's just a nice way to try and get people to go out there and utilize them. I mean, they're amazing.
Participants in the program can win rec center memberships, outdoor gear, and clothing at the end of the challenge. Completed forms must be turned into the center by the end of August, when the drawing takes place. Winners are announced September 1st. The center is also asking for photos from your hikes. Send them to reccenter@skagway.org. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. KHNS Local News every weekday at 5:30 p.m. and on weekday mornings at 6:49 and 7:49 a.m. Then a review of the week's top local news stories is heard every Saturday during Lynn Canal Weekend on KHNS.